You are listening to Blue Mountain Radio, KQBM, LP 103.9 FM West Point, KQBM 90.7 FM San Andreas.
Oh, yes! Yes!
I'll have what she's having.
As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses. For the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses.
Welcome to Every Woman's Hour on Blue Mountain Radio, KQBM LP 103.7 FM West Point, KQBM 90.7 FM San Andreas. We're here on a very hopeful, cloudy day in what should still be our winter, with the door and windows wide open at the station at KQBM. We are here with Tara Forget. Tara and I are together to be able to talk to you about the wonderful ways that she has contributed to the arts and drama programs of the Motherlode. And I have to say, Tara, I have spent, now I'm on my about 85th interview, and I'm sure that Tara would agree that no one has pestered her more for an interview on this planet than I, for Every Woman's Hour. But she is genuinely a person who is strikingly busy with her days and her programs. And we finally have found a time to be able to do this. And I'm so pleased, and so are all of the people who have shared our announcement of this program and who are listening today, because your work is well known, and everyone wants to know how it came to be, who you are, and what it is you do.
Well, thank you very much, Kat. I'm happy I could finally find a day to be here.
Me too. Because, well, I'm repeating myself, and I'm not going to repeat myself. I want you to repeat yourself. I want you to talk and talk and talk about what it is that you do in our community, and why, and where you came from, how you got to where you are. What is it that you're doing right now in your life here in the Motherlode?
Well, I can talk and talk and talk. I think anyone that knows me could attest to that. So how long do we have? 4 hours?
Yes.
Four hours. Perfect. So
we're going to divide it into four interviews, and you will have 4 hours. Okay.
Well, when you say, how did I come to be in this community? I was born and raised in this community. I was born outside Wheelsville, grew up right here, and went to West Point Elementary School, went to Calaveras High School, and then I moved back after college.
You lived here in West Point in your childhood?
I live out on Blue Mountain Road.
Okay.
So born there, raised there, went to all these local schools, had a great childhood here, and actually couldn't wait to get away, like a lot of kids that grow up here. Went to Calaveras High School, couldn't wait to go away to college, and I went to Stanford University, lived in the Bay Area for a little while, and then realized what a wonderful place the foothills are to live and decided to move back. And now I live on the same ranch where I was born and raised, out on Blue Mountain Road, with my husband, Abe Forget.
Okay, now that's a beautiful history, and is strikingly one that many of the women who make a difference in the Motherlode have come back from childhood experiences, either camping up here or being on vacation with their families, or from having lived up here when they were young and realizing what a treasure it was to live up here in the mountains.
I've had the same experience. A lot of the kids that I grew up with here kind of felt the same way. You can't wait to get out and see more of the world, but then once you do, realize what a special place this really is. And we have a lot of our generation that grew up here that have moved back and are planning to move back.
Which is exciting, because we certainly need to have here in the Motherlode young families, because that's our future. And we need to be able to contribute to those young families wanting to be able to be here and to work here and to stay here, which is a lot of your work. So when you came back, what is it that you were first doing? You had already had, what did you have? I think you had all the way up to maybe a master's in your...
I don't have a master's, but I do have a degree in sociology from Stanford University.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's as good as a master's.
It's an undergraduate degree. Right. Maybe someday I'll be able to get a master's, but I really was ready to move back here. And spent some time actually commuting back down to Stanford to finish my degree.
Wow.
I started working right here at the Blue Mountain Coalition for Youth and Families while I was still in college, and worked there for almost 10 years running the youth programs right here at the community center in West Point.
Okay, that was something I also didn't know about mm-hmm. you. But that so how long has Blue Mountain Coalition of Youth and Families been in this community then?
Oh, goodness. Over 20 years. I believe it was founded. I've forgotten these dates. I used to know them. But it was founded by a group of mothers who were just trying to create a safe place for their kids to go after school. Group of parents, I should say. And started when I was actually a kid here as just a very small teen center. It was renting a one-room space. Over by the library, I think, was one of the first spaces. And it was basically just a small room and a pool table and parents who were there to make sure there was somewhere for kids to go after school. And it grew from that into what we have now, which is a large nonprofit organization that is the umbrella for the community garden, for the community center here, which is a 3,000-square-foot community space. And, of course, Blue Mountain Radio was born from that nonprofit organization.
About over 12 years ago.
Goodness.
Long time.
Yes.
Right, long time. Okay, so you began at Blue Mountain while you were still in college.
I did. So my background is not actually in the arts professionally. I didn't study arts education. I studied community networking and community support and was really passionate about that because of my work with the Blue Mountain Coalition for Youth and Families and working under Katrine Lambie and Mark Dyken and seeing the passion that they had for supporting the community and the way that people really come out to do things for kids and families in a small town like this. And I was inspired by that. So I managed to focus my studies at Stanford on community support programs and then brought that work back to the youth center here. And I think that seeing how the arts created a safe place for kids to express themselves and explore who they are is really what drove me to move to where I am now, which is running the Amador County Arts Council. So though I don't really have a background in arts programs per se, I think working here at the youth center in town and seeing what an important part of healing and expressing yourself and being safe that the arts are is what led me to understand the importance of that work and to apply for the job that I now hold as the executive director of the Amador County Arts Council.
Okay, and we will look at what the Arts Council is about in just a moment. But I think where I got the idea of the master's is I know that you did a postgraduate work in drama in some way.
I have been involved in drama since as long as I can remember, since I was a small child. Actually, the way I think I got my start on stage is when I was a kid, my parents and their friends used to hold the Chautauqua Revival.
The Chautauqua Revival.
Yes, we call it the Greater Blue Mountain Chautauqua Revival.
Okay.
And it is basically just a fun talent show that we've been having out on our property. And so since the time I was very small, I was on stage in skits and performing and probably singing, although that is not my area. Now I've learned that that's not my talent, but okay. I've been on stage since then. And so in college and in high school, I was very involved in drama. I was in the drama department at Calaveras High School, met some great people there, applied for the drama department at Stanford University and was accepted when I started college there. But beyond that, my studies in drama were at the California State Summer School for the Arts.
Ah,
as a high school student, you can apply for CISA, we call it. California State Summer School for the Arts. And I was accepted twice in drama, so recognized as a California art scholar in the theater arts, and had the opportunity to go to Southern California and spend the summers studying under some incredible drama teachers there.
So that was not that long ago, because you're still a young person, but you've certainly moved further than that through that preparation, because you now can direct, for example, are going to be directing a show that we'll talk about a little later, right across the street from KQBM. And so you must have learned all of these talents in some way. How did that happen?
I think I learned them through experience. And, of course, that work at the California State Summer School for the Arts was instrumental in me learning more about how the theater works. But mostly it's just from experience. I don't have an advanced degree in theater arts. I just really believe in participating in community theater and community programs, and so have been doing it for a while. I'm not a professional by any means, but it sure is fun.
Well, you surely come through as a professional, and that's where I think I got this thing fixed in my mind, that this must have been a big part of your preparation, your education. But you're adding that the education was from just years of experience now that you benefited from, and others benefit from what you learned.
I hope so. Mostly it's just fun. And I really believe that community theater is teamwork. And so when I'm part of a production like we're doing right now at the Blue Mountain Theater, I think the cast, the crew, everyone who's involved has valuable input to the show. And so I, as a director, I try to create it as a collaborative activity.
Okay, so that pretty much covers the preparation then for becoming who you are in our community. Now I would like to talk quite a bit about the Amador Arts Council in California, arts generally, and your partnerships with the other arts councils in the area, because one thing that we have here on Every Woman's Hour, as many of you know, is we have quite a few artists come on and discuss their work and their involvement in community, to the point that by now, those of you who listen to Every Woman's Hour should be pretty well aware that we have an unusual percentage of people who are active in the arts in this area and who are very talented and experienced in the arts. Our communities are quite small. They're all under 60,000 people per county. And so, which, you know, barely would cover a few towns in the Bay Area, for example. And yet the percentage of our viable artists, people making a living and participating and being in shows and holding workshops, and is enormous for small areas like this.
Yes, it is.
So let's talk about that a bit, the arts councils.
I would love to talk about that. So I've been the executive director of the Amador County Arts Council for just over 3 years now. It's been an incredible experience. The organization is led by a group of 17 directors on our board of directors who kept that organization alive for almost 10 years without an executive director.
Wow.
So they ran the programs themselves and through volunteer help. And then thanks to grant funding from the California Arts Council, which is a state agency that gets its money from the state budget and then distributes it through nonprofit organizations throughout the state, through a grant from the CAC, as we call them, the Amador County Arts Council managed to finally hire an executive director, and I took the job in November of 2012, and it's just been a whirlwind ever since. We've grown the organization quite a bit. We've added a lot of new programs reaching throughout the county, and that's really how I met Kat, through one of those programs.
Yes. Yes, through the Reflections McCallamy Project.
Yes.
Which was also a grant on its own.
Yes, it was. Last year, we received a large grant from the California Arts Council, competitive grant, but we got one that was called the Creative California Communities Grant. And the idea was to harness the arts to service your community, stir some economic development, and tell an important story about the community that you're in. And so we executed the River Reflections, McCollumy River Arts Project, where we had 50 local artists using their talents and their in their specific arts discipline to tell the story of the McCollumy River and what a significant part it plays in our lives and in the lives of the 1.6 million people in the Bay Area who depend on the water that comes right here from the foothills.
So it had an East Bay Mud constituency also.
Yes. So it was a collaborative project. So critical to that project was working with some partners. One of those partners was the Calaveras County Arts Council, our equivalent in Calaveras County. We also partnered with the Foothill Conservancy and East Bay Mud. So those partners, which came from different walks of life, certainly, and not always organizations that agree, were really critical in us creating this project, which reached a lot of different kinds of people.
And brought people together. I think that a key phrase you said there was who don't always agree, because mm-hmm. it's important to say how that position is neutralized so beautifully by cooperating with the arts, because everybody agrees a beautiful painting of a river is wonderful to look at, wonderful to experience, or a wonderful song about the rivers, sung in performances, is a beautiful thing to hear. And without argument, without arguing over policy and procedure and law and the arguments that wind up often being destructive, it's a kind of way to, it really is a way to pull community together over something they can agree on.
I think so. I think the arts really create a unique context to be able to share a story in, as you said, a way that really limits disagreement and argument, because it's telling a story in a way that most people can agree is beautiful and unique. And I think when you share something through your art form, whether it is a painting or a photograph or a song or a poem, you're telling a story from your own heart in a way that's unique to you, but then other people get to receive it in a way that is unique and meaningful to them.
For them,
and
right.
I think the arts do that in a way that not a lot of other communication can.
Now, you may be wondering how this was experienced by the community. It was experienced in 4 events at different venues that were really exciting and fun, and also in a workshop kind of field trips for the participants so that they could get to know each other. So this was really drawing community in. And amazingly, all of them were very, very well attended. Maybe not so amazingly. There was a lot of talent there, and there had been a lot of organization. One of the things that had really been striking to those of us who participated was how beautifully organized every single event was. And that, as executive director, I do want to make a special mention to honor you for really, it was precision work. It was really something to watch. You really have a way of being very gracious and very good-natured while everything gets run perfectly.
Thank you, Kat. That's a real
compliment.
There's
no other way to put it. Everything was being run perfectly, and it looked seamless, and it was really clear who was at the helm at all times.
Thank you, Kat. I do really appreciate that.
But it's true, and I'm sure that other people have told you this, perhaps not as blatantly and over the air, however, I'm sure people have complimented you for that. It's a skill that you have.
Well, it was a wonderful project. I was honored to be a part of it. It was something that really was personal to me because I grew up on the McCollumy River, and growing up in this area, that river and the water from it has always been an important part of my life and something that I like to honor. And so to have the opportunity to bring my work in to tell a story related to something that was already important to me was just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And the support that we got from the partners, the community, and the artists who became part of the project was very impressive. I was also impressed with the number of people who came out for all of the events that we held. So we did two workshops. We called them inspirational events for the artists. We took them down to the river at Middle Bar for a plein air day and a short hike. And then we went out on a boat tour at Pardee Reservoir, courtesy of East Bay Mud, and saw some of the reservoir there where the water goes from the river down to Oakland and the East Bay area. And then we had an event showing the art where we did an exhibition of the artwork of these 50 artists, which included the music, poetry, and visual arts. Our first opening was at the Hotel Sutter in Sutter Creek, and then we moved it down to East Bay Mud in Oakland and actually installed the artwork at the headquarters of East Bay Mud in Oakland so that people who depend on that water but are not familiar with the river had a chance to see it. And that event was attended by the chairman of the California Arts Council. Oh, so he actually got to see the project as well and was very impressed with it. And I ran into him at an event a couple of weeks ago, and he remembered it very fondly and told me what a unique project that was and how impressed he was by it.
And then, of course, what a compliment.
It was.
To all of us.
It was.
Really.
I was so glad he remembered it. Mm-hmm. And then we moved the artwork back up to Calaveras County, and it was at the Hotel Leger for a month. And then that finale event, of course, at Pardee Reservoir, which included a dance choreographed by Cara Augustin and more music by all of our talented musicians. Cat's song was performed by Nedra and Julio.
That's right.
I believe.
A popular duet.
That was
team
great.
Here in the entire Motherlode, well known by the entire Motherlode. That was a lot of fun.
So it was a big project. We had, I would say, over 600 people who came out to all of those events and saw the artwork and attended. And I've heard lots of good feedback from everyone since then. So it really was a fantastic project to be involved in. Thank you for the compliment about how it was organized.
That was very important. That was very important because without that calm organization, people would have felt all at sea because there were so many people involved. I mean, there were food at all of these events, a lot of it by Mary Polskamp's Rosebuds mm-hmm. was involved. So it was community involved in producing the foods as well. It was amazing. It was really, really, really well done. It has a counterpart that happened this year, the Animalscapes Project, because it inspired your project, inspired Calaveras County to also search for its own grant and to do a similar project this year. And many of us are hoping that this kind of thing goes on, that maybe Tuolumne might pick it up next year and then we could start it over again. It could be a yearly kind of event, it seems to me.
We are hoping that, too. So, yes, Animalscapes is going on right now. And so that is a very similar project, collaborative project funded by the same Creative California Communities grant from the California Arts Council that this time the Calaveras Arts Council is running and facilitating. And I have to say that the person who's really key in both of these projects is Penny West, who is a local woman. She lives outside of Glencoe, raised her kids in Calaveras County. I actually grew up with her son, Carson. And Penny ran the Calaveras County Arts Council for a number of years, and now she is a consultant for both the Calaveras Arts Council and the Amador County Arts Council.
Oh, I didn't realize that she worked both.
She works for both of us and provides a great link between the organizations, and she is the inspiration behind both of these projects. It was Penny's idea to do an arts project about the McCollumne River, And I believe the Animalscapes Project was also
her
idea.
Her baby.
And
her
she
child.
Was instrumental in writing both grants and has been involved with both projects. And we're just very lucky to have her.
I believe she's one of the people we're waiting to be able to have Calaveras Arts Council come on. They're coming on as a team of two or three women.
Great.
And they will be coming. We are here in West Point. I just thought I would let you know that.
Main Street, West Point, ladies and gentlemen.
Main Street, West Point. If you're not having going around a dog sleeping in the middle of the street, a motorcycle is whipping on by the station. This is live radio, folks. We are on Blue Mountain Radio, KQBM, LP 103.7 FM, West Point, 90.7 FM, San Andreas. And we are right in the middle of an interview along with the Harlead writers of Dara Forgette. And we're going to continue then. We're not being interrupted.
Well, Penny
okay,
West
so,
would
so
be...
So she's going to be coming on.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. She is a really, really involved in the arts, has been in Calaveras and Amador for years. Very knowledgeable woman. And can tell you a lot more about all of these projects. I hope you get to speak with her soon.
You know, and she is under the radar, too. I suspect that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but she seems to me to be a very, somebody who loves to be behind the scenes. She's not out there. I did not hear during the entire Reflection Projects anything about her. I didn't hear about her until the Calaveras one. And then somebody had told me similarly. She's a wonderful woman to do that because people behind the scenes, the volunteers behind the scenes, are a very special breed of women making a difference up here in the Motherlode because they're not out there being the showcase, but you would have no showcase if it wasn't for them.
Absolutely true of Penny. She works hard, she makes things happen, but she is rarely the one who steps up and takes credit for them. So I like the opportunity to talk about how important her help is in all of these projects.
And I'm glad that you brought it up just in case she's, once again, too busy to be able to join her team. But I think it's more than just being busy. I think she likes to showcase the people that she's working with and for. And to be the power behind the throne, really.
She's very graceful like
yes,
that.
Yes, very graceful about that.
So the Animalscapes project actually is in the works right now. We had the first opening at Ironstone Vineyards.
Yes, which was quite beautiful.
And Kat's poem took first prize.
It did.
In that project. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Beautiful poem.
Thank you. I was really startled about that because you have no idea the quality of people who show for these projects. The poets themselves were published poets in the main. And it's so you always feel that you're among the best of the best. And yet they're people who are your neighbors and friends.
Yes. There's another local poet who also got an honorable mention, of course,
yes,
Linda
Torin.
Had a poem in the Animalscapes exhibit as well. And I think it's incredible that we have such talented artists right here in these small towns.
There is no doubt about that. And Linda is a big contributor to Every Woman's Hour. She's been on herself, and she often puts together small teams to be able to talk about their work here in the community. And she writes, besides which, she has a fantastic column in Upcountry News that is her teaching, because she's a teacher at heart, though she's retired, about the books that she loves in the area. It's the only book column that's around in any of our papers around here. We're bringing this up, I think, both Tara and I are, because both of our work has a parallel here when you think about it, which is that we are also people who showcase people. We like to show what people do and what they contribute and why it's important. And we like to honor them for their work. So I'm not surprised you're bringing up other people. And therefore, I'm going to have to move this along and say, we are interviewing you today.
Okay.
And we're going to talk more about you, though I think it's very typical of you to be bringing up, well, then there's this person. So we're going to move a little bit forward here and say, we have these collaborations going on in the arts. But among the arts here, of course, in the Motherlode are the dramatic arts, which are pretty incredible. We have, I think, at least four theater groups within this group of little less than 100,000 people. We have four theaters.
I think there's even more.
Yes, but I'm just thinking Calaveras and Amador. Mm-hmm. If you add Tuolumne, then you've got another
quite
three
a few,
more.
Yes.
Yeah, then you have three more that are they're very viable, and some smaller ones as well. So altogether, maybe if you counted some of the youth ones as well, mm-hmm. you have 10, 12, maybe a dozen among about 150,000 people, which, think about it, Bay Area people who are listening. Think about 150,000 people in 12 theaters. Doesn't happen, does it? You don't have that in the Bay Area, but we have that here, and very viably. Now, right across the street from us is the Blue Mountain Players, and you've been involved with them for some time, so let's talk about them a bit.
I have been involved with the Blue Mountain Players in the Blue Mountain Theater, and I just think it's incredible that a town the size of West Point manages to operate a community theater. And you're going to tease me for bringing this up, but there's two women who keep that theater going.
I know that. One of them has been on Every Woman's Hour, okay. So you can go ahead and mention it.
Well, Vicki and Danielle just right, work exactly. tirelessly and keep
this
theater
Vicki
alive.
And Danielle
Bianchi.
Bianchi.
And they operate the businesses next door to the theater building in West Point and manage to keep it going. And, of course, there's a lot of other people who contribute to that as well and work very hard on those productions. But when I tell people I'm directing a play in West Point, they say, "Where in West Point?" I say, "Yes, West Point has its own community theater." And I just think that's incredible that we keep that going. So I'm very proud to be a part of it. And I have been involved there for on and off for quite a few years. When I first moved back up here, Vicki asked me if I would direct a play at the theater. And I think the first play I did was Bad Year for Tomatoes.
Right.
Yes. That was quite a while ago. A fun play to do. And the last few years, I've been alternating directing a play and then acting in a play, which is fun because I really like to do both. So 2 years ago, we did a play called The Jewel Thieves, which was kind of a mystery farce.
I saw that one.
That was a lot of fun to do. And then last year, Vicki directed a play that she asked me to act in. That was challenging. It was just two people. It was a romantic comedy.
And I saw that one, and it was excellent.
Well, thank you.
But it was a challenge because you were on the stage almost all the time.
It was. That was one of the more challenging plays I've done. It was just myself.
The name of that one
and a
been...
young man. Wrong for Each Other.
Wrong for Each Other.
Yes, Wrong
that
for Each Other.
That had Roberto in it.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
And that was fun to work with him. He had moved to West Point from New York. I think, which you don't see very often.
No.
And, of course, he's gone on to urban life once again. I think he's living in L.A. now. But that was fun to have a new face in the theater because very often it's some of the same people who are involved in the plays, which you're bound to see in a small town like this. And the play that we're doing right now is a great combination of two people who've been involved with the Blue Mountain Players for years, Dennis Adams and Jeff Haight. They're veterans of community theater. But then we have two faces who are new to our community theater here, and that's Megan O'Keefe and Laurel Lichtig. So it's a great combination of fresh faces and old veterans. And we've just had a great time putting this play on, and it opens Friday night. I'm very excited about it.
It does, and it's a sold-out opening, and I will be there. People who have listened to Every Woman's Hour, you may recognize those two names. Megan has been on Every Woman's Hour,
good.
Talking about her, mainly talking about music, but also talking about what it means to be a young person and to leave and come back and leave and come back, because a lot of her work is what she calls on the road. But it always comes back here, and what she's learned on the road gets translated into her community songs, into both her music and all the other arts that she's interested in. So she was talking about that. And Laurel Lichtig, of course, has been on because of her work at Blue Mountain Coalition of Youth and Families and in the gardens.
Yes.
And in the gardens. So she was on for that. And she was also on for her Ayurvedic, her talents as an Ayurvedic practitioner.
She is a woman of many talents.
Of many talents and hats. I'm looking forward to seeing those two women on the stage. One of the things that should be coming through to people right now is how much community is part of your life. That you are very, very immersed in community. Where do you see all of that going? I mean, where you are a young woman and you have a huge future ahead of you. When you think about being here, what do you think about where all of this could go? What do you see growing and changing because you could help with that?
Well, you could probably tell I do feel strongly about community, and choosing to move back to this small town and make my life here is because I think that there's something very special that happens in small, tight-knit communities like these. And that's when anyone you're going to run into on the street or throughout your day would lend a hand if you needed it. So I think that's a very special thing. And I want to just do everything I can to nurture that community here in West Point and in the foothills, Amador and Calaveras County. You mentioned earlier about young families moving back. I think we have seen some of that recently. There's some new faces in town. It's great when you see young people who've chosen to move here and raise their kids here, put their kids in our local schools. So I would hope and will continue to work to create more community organizations. I am involved with the Blue Mountain Coalition for Youth and Families still, though I don't work there anymore. I'm still on their board of directors. I think that nonprofit has really created a place for itself at the heart of West Point and Willsieville. And that's exemplified by the fact that it continues to create new opportunities like Blue Mountain Radio and the Community Garden. And I would like to continue to work with that organization to see if we can reach out even further in the way that we serve the community. I think there's potential here. I mean, it's a small town, and it's been through some very hard times. But I think that if more people, like the ones we've talked about today, are committed to making their life here and building a life here and volunteering their time to make it a better place to live, that we can see West Point kind of find a new beginning and find new life, and maybe we can fill some of these empty spaces right here on Main Street. I think there is opportunity and there's potential, but it takes dedication and volunteer time and hard work from people like all of the women we've talked about today.
And we have the extra challenge, of course, of situations like Butte Fire.
Absolutely.
Which for Calaveras County, but also for small parts of Amador, and certainly in the business and social relationships between the two counties, affected over 600 families and 43,000 acres of land. Mm-hmm. And that's an enormous amount of land. I doubt, again, that people in urban areas can imagine what that means. But this, what it meant was a whole rural way of life literally was wiped out.
Yes.
And has not been able to rebuild that well. Do you ever see a project that could happen around Butte Fire? I know that there are a few arts works that are being done about Butte Fire, but it seems to me like maybe a grant could be done to reflect on the fact that we're in a fire world up here. And which everybody's well aware of. You know, those of you in the Bay Area, for example, who listen, you have earthquake insurance. We don't even get earthquake insurance up here because that is not the problem. But you may not move into a home unless you have fire insurance, mm-hmm. because we are in serious fire country, especially in the drought conditions of the last 20 years. So do you ever see arts building around issues like that happen in our community?
Well, I think that's exactly the kind of issue which can really inspire some special work from artists. There are some small art projects that are going on now, I think mostly to offer opportunities of healing for people who have lost their homes and everything in the fire. I hope that there will be some larger projects. Perhaps that's an opportunity for another collaborative art project like Animalscapes and River Reflections to tell the story of what everyone went through with the fire.
That's kind of what I was hinting at.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I know the partnerships are so viable between Calaveras and Amador Arts Councils, that it just strikes me that it would be really useful, because we're having a wet, rainy season now, but far from ending a drought. And much of the West is already hitting the beginning of fire season, even though it's not the end of winter. Other states in the West are having major fires. So it's not like this is not going to continue to impact our communities. It might be something to collaborate together on, having a big project around that.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Kat. And the fact that the fire started in Amador but so severely affected Calaveras County might be a great opportunity to work together again to tell that story.
And to tell that story, because one thing that many people in Calaveras are not aware of is how much Amador has contributed to Calaveras since that fire. Of donations and time, and mainly because it started in our county and spread because of the winds, which nobody has any control over, into our neighboring county. And we share the McCallamy River as our boundary between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we share that river, and just in the way that we share that river and we share all of the animals who migrate all between our two counties, because they don't know where the borders are. They just go wherever the food and water is. We have, of course, so much in common about the natural world here, including fire. So that's why I thought I'd bring it up.
Well, I will give that some thought. And maybe next year when we talk, you'll be the person I'm crediting with inspiring the next large collaborative art project.
I take that.
All right.
Because I've been thinking about it. You know, we do a lot of the announcing of the needs that people still have
mm-hmm.
here on KQBM. So every time I come into this station, I'm faced with my reef of papers that still say Butte Fire information mm-hmm. that have the new information about who needs what, because fires aren't just over and that's it. You know, the rebuilding, it's like after a war where the peace is something else again. Rebuilding after a fire is something else again. It's years and years and years of work, and years of work around nature. Nature itself has to do its repairs and be assisted in that by erosion control and things like that that are unprecedented in areas that don't experience fire. It's total devastation that has to be totally rebuilt by the communities that live there and by the animals and trees that live there. Mm-hmm. Have to do their own rebuilding. So, yeah, it was just a thought.
It's a great thought.
Thank you.
And you're right. The rebuilding is going to take years. But that just makes me think again about what an incredible community we have here of helping hands and dedicated friends and neighbors. I think that we've all seen in one way or another the way that our community has come out to support the people that have lost their homes in the fire. And I hope to see over the next few years our community really coming together to help everyone rebuild.
I think that I can't imagine that not happening. I know that it does slow down, though, and that's why my thought had gone to the arts, because both of these arts programs that have been on. But you know what? We have not yet said it. We need to say something about the other programs that Amador Arts Council does, because we got off on the wonderful trajectory of the major projects. But, for example, you have classes coming up. Tell us a little bit about those classes that are coming up at Amador Arts.
We do. We have quite a few programs at Amador Arts. So I think what you're talking about is our annual A Taste of the Arts, which is a mini arts institute that the Amador Arts Council has been putting on for several years. And what we do is we bring together some of these local professional artists, which Kat was talking about, we have a high number of, and each of these artists teaches a class throughout the day that is offered to the public. So this year we have 15 different artists teaching art classes. So it's a little mini arts institute in the sense that you can sign up and have the opportunity to take 3 different art classes throughout the day. So examples of some of the classes that are offered this year are djembe drumming with our very own Mark Dyken, acrylic painting with Marchand Hyman. There's also watercolor painting, the art of bonsai, paper collage, paper making, wire jewelry, and then, of course, I am teaching a drama class at A Taste of the Arts. So the way it works is we organize these artists to offer classes. People sign up and they list their top choices and then some alternative classes that they're interested in. And you end up with a class schedule for the day, which gives you 3 90-minute art classes taught by local professional artists. So, for example, you might come to A Taste of the Arts and first period have a 90-minute acrylic painting class and then go on to a 90-minute art of bonsai class and then maybe finish the day off with a papermaking class. We do this every year, and we try to make it very affordable so that it's accessible to everyone. So
it was totally affordable. As somebody on a fixed income, I was thrilled with how affordable it was.
I don't think you're going to find many places where you can take 3 professionally taught art classes for $35, which is the fee.
And have them be as varied as they are. I mean, everything from working with drums to working with fine arts to working with drama, which is what I'm definitely signed up for to be with you and to, because I want to work with my puppets.
Yes,
and
cats.
And learn some ways to think about theater and the puppets.
Yes,
for children.
We're going to be doing the drama of storytelling will
yes.
be the class because yes. really drama is just about telling a story. And there's so many different ways to do that within the theater arts. So we're going to explore that a little bit in my drama class on March 12th at A Taste of the Arts. And that program that we've been doing, I want to say it's the 6th year of A Taste of the Arts. This year, it sold out in less than a month. We managed to accommodate 145 people
Wow.
into the classes, which gets very tricky to get everyone into the classes that they're interested in just for one day. But the deadline to sign up wasn't even supposed to be until next week, but it sold out 2 weeks ago.
I saw that when I went online, which is thinking about that, I don't want us to lose I don't want us to lose how to contact you, because that winds up being very important to our listeners. If people want to contact, for example, about any of the programs that are going on at Amador Arts, what is the easiest way to be able to reach people at Amador Arts?
Well, the easiest way to reach me is to send me an email, because then I can get it when I'm in the office and get back to you right away. So I would recommend you email me at Amador Arts, that's plural, AmadorArts
@gmail.com. Easy to remember.
Yep. We also have a pretty good website which tells you about all of the programs and events we offer through the year. It is amadorarts.org. And if you want to just pick up the phone and try to catch me that way, though it's a little challenging because I'm in and out of the office.
That is impossible, folks. I would strongly recommend going to the...
You
no,
could
it's
always,
not impossible, but you could try.
It's not easy, but you could always try and you could leave me a message. I'll get back to you. And my number at the office in Amador is 209-267-9038.
Let's repeat that again.
209-267-9038.
Okay, well, repeat that again in case you just ran and got your pencil and go, oh, no, do it again. We'll do that just before we finish this interview.
Okay.
But I wanted to get that out right now for people so that we don't forget. Okay, there's a third program that's going on right now that is about the artists themselves. What is that one that's going on right now?
Tell me a little more about that. Honestly,
Art Walk or something like that.
Oh, the Art Trek.
That's
yes.
it. Our turn.
Yeah. To be honest, we have probably 8 programs going on right now.
Okay. So. We have 8 programs going on.
Which is why I'm hard to catch up with.
Okay.
But yes, the Art Trek is a tour of local galleries, mostly in Amador County, but we've also included 2 galleries in McCollumy Hill because we are a lot of small towns knit together, and there's no reason that that county boundary should keep you from enjoying all the arts there are to find. So the Art Trek is what we call a self-guided way to see the arts in Amador County, but then it also includes First Saturday special receptions. So I'm sure you've heard of Second Saturday in Sacramento and art walks in other counties. It's a pretty common program for a county arts council to do or a city arts council to do. So there is a brochure which includes a map and listings of the 20 participating galleries and businesses. Most of them are galleries.
20 participating galleries and businesses.
And businesses. So most of them are galleries, which feature the artwork of local artists, but there are also in the Art Trek some businesses which hang the work of local artists, like Rosebuds, the Pulse Camp Family Cafe in downtown Jackson. They are part of the Amador County Art and Public Places campaign, so they feature the artwork of local artists right there in their restaurant, so they're also part of the Art Trek. So you can pick up a brochure at any of the galleries in Amador County, of course at my office, which is in downtown Sutter Creek, and use that as a guide to touring all of these locations at any time. If it's a beautiful day and you're going to grab lunch in Volcano and you just want to get out and see some art, you can hit a couple places on the Art Trek tour. But the first Saturday of each month, all of those participating locations are open, and many of them have special artist receptions where you can meet and talk with the artists they're featuring that month.
Amazing. That's pretty ongoing then.
It is. It's ongoing. You can take the Art Trek anytime. Great way to tour a lot of these galleries. But those first Saturday receptions happen every month except January, because the first weekend in January, everyone's usually recovering from the holiday. So we just take that one off.
Very good idea. Yep. Very truly.
And you can.
Every woman has found that out even when we were trying to do interviews. People were just too tired from the holidays.
Yes. So you can see all of those Art Trek locations on our website. And you can also, through the website, get a Google map of all the participating locations. So there's a map that you can link to on our website, which is amadorarts.org. And then you can just follow your GPS on your phone to some of those locations if you want to do it that way as well.
And then there are also music programs, yes?
We also have music programs. We right now are planning our summer concert series, which in Amador County we call TGIF, because we do the concerts every Friday night. So you get to end your week with a free concert in the park.
Now those are incredibly well attended,
yes.
By the way. They're packed with people who can bring their own food, or there's sometimes a concession.
Occasionally, they're at a private location where you can buy food. We do the last concert of every summer at Terradora Winery in Plymouth, and you can buy wine there. But most of them are in parks throughout the county. That's another common program for a county arts council to have. In Calaveras County, they call it Music in the Parks. And I happen to know that they're going to be up here in West Point on July 27th. They do theirs on Wednesday nights. So they'll be at West Point Elementary School with a few free music in the park on Wednesday, July 27th.
And people bring their own picnics and things to drink and things like and so on. And it gets them into their own parks, which they often
yes.
are not in.
It is really a great time, the concerts in the parks. So you can find, if you're in Amador or Calaveras, you can find a free concert every week of the summer, starting in June, going through August. Great way to get out, enjoy your community, pack your picnic, bring a lawn chair, and there are some very talented local and regional bands, which, of course, you guys know, being involved with Blue Mountain Radio. But we talked about the high number of professional artists that live in the foothills up here. We also have an incredible number of very talented musicians and bands that live here. So the free concerts in the parks is a great way to hear some really good music while enjoying your community.
Lots of genres play. I mean, there every genre of music that you can imagine is up here, for all the way from classical to punk rock to, and all of them well represented by people who are very experienced. It is unusual. It is unusual. It's fun to be around. I would like to finally ask what happens for the art councils about children.
I'm glad you asked, because in my mind, that's the most important work that the Arts Councils do. At Amador Arts, we run an arts education program, which includes professionally taught art classes for every student in first through fifth grades at every elementary school in Amador County.
Wow.
Yes.
So you have art teachers running art programs
we
for
do.
Every single elementary school.
We do. And that is work that is behind the scenes, really, because it's happening in the schools, and a lot of people don't realize that that's something that the Arts Council does. But in my mind, that is our most important program. So we do hire local professional teaching artists to go into each school and offer a standards-based arts class for that grade level. Then we also bring in the B Street Theater Company from Sacramento, which does fantastic school tours, and they perform at every elementary school in the county.
Now, they've been going for decades. I've in my teaching in the Bay Area, they we would take the kids to those.
Yeah,
those,
the B Street Theater does
the
a
Street
great
Theater.
Educational,
yes.
Fun performance. It's very engaging for the kids. And then we also run a separate artist residency program, which is grant-funded, again, from the California Arts Council, that alternates between the schools. But this year, right now, Marshawn Hyman and Linda Torin are doing a residency at Pine Grove Elementary and Pioneer Elementary, which includes visual arts and poetry.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, because I know that Linda's been involved with poetry here in West Point for many years,
yes,
with the kids when she was a teacher.
Especially. Linda has been teaching poetry in the Calaveras County Elementary Schools for a number of years, and I'm just thrilled that I managed to get her over to teach a little bit in Amador County this year as well.
And for those of you who remember Linda Vasquez coming on, remember that that is also a Magnet's art school, which throws people because they expect those to be urban. And there we have a rural school that is.
We
that
do.
That is a Magnet's art school right in Pioneer. We're talking mainly about upcountry when we're talking about these areas, but you have to realize that that's where a lot of our kids are impacted with not having what many of us consider the privileges of that could happen in an urban area. But they are here.
Yes.
They're here.
Yes, they are.
Okay. So if you're thinking as a family of moving into the area, it's not that your kids would be missing out on an educational opportunity. Well, you had mentioned at the beginning of this interview that we had the possibility of taking 4 hours, and that was true. And we haven't obviously hit even, we hit 4 of the possible programs, so I'm not going to rush you through the rest of them, but those are the major ones, I assume?
Those are the Music in the Parks is a great upcoming program, which is free for everyone, really provides great access to the arts. Art in Schools, as I said, I think is one of our most important programs, so I was glad to have the opportunity to talk about that. But you can see more of what we do at the Amador County Arts Council on our website, amadorarts.org.
And you can also find you on Facebook, I believe.
You can find us on Facebook. And you can also, I have to plug my play one more time. You can find
please
the Blue
plug,
Mountain
please
Players.
Plug the Blue Mountain Players.
On Facebook. And if you check that out, you can see some hilarious pictures of the play that is about to open right here in downtown West Point. I'm very excited about. That includes some local talent, which it sounds like you've gotten the opportunity to speak with Laurel and Megan before. And so you can come and see them in this play,
yes,
starting this weekend.
Yes, which will be, well, the whole gestalt of everything that you've talked about has been exciting and happy-making for me. As you've noticed during this live interview that we have had with Tara Forget, we both sound like we're smiling, and we are. This is happy-making stuff, and it's a great job and a great privilege that you have, and a great honor to have you here to talk about it, because the privilege that you have is to do something you love and can smile about and feel great about as your work in life.
I feel very lucky, and it was an honor to be here, Kat. I'm glad that we could find some time to do it.
I am so pleased, but I will have you on again. Thank you so much. You are listening to Blue Mountain Radio, KQBM LP 103.7 FM West Point, KQBM 90.7 FM San Andreas. You have been listening to Every Woman's Hour. You are listening to Blue Mountain Radio, KQBM, LP 103.9 FM West Point, KQBM 90.7 FM San Andreas.